Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Y'all All Y'all Podcast.
We are so excited you're here. I'm Jordana Brown.
And I'm Yosef Rappaport.
And tonight we have an extremely, tonight is like a brand new adventure for us because all three of us, Yosef, myself, and our guest are coming to you from different locations.
Live from different locations.
We're so excited about the just really the time of the Jetsons that we're living in, the future, that we're all able to speak to each other.
Yeah, you know what we're doing. We're all on video chat, but we're muted on our computers. And at the same time, we are connecting to the podcast on our phone.
You know, it's so funny because we're talking about it as if we're like extremely advanced technologically when probably there are a million ways to do this that are easier and more streamlined that like someone with a background in technology would see us and be like, what is wrong with you, you jabronis? Like, you're so, you know.
But this is on a budget.
You're so lame.
Ours is on a budget.
It's such a budget. So far, we have spent less than $4. Oh, wait, no, with beer, we probably spent about $10 thus far on this endeavor. And, you know, for all of our billions of fans, I'm sure they can't believe it. Okay, so we have an extremely exciting guest this week. We have, I don't know, how do you, I'm going to let her introduce herself because I know her in a different way that she, than she may be referred to now. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I
don't know what you call yourself now.
You mean my last name?
Yeah.
It's funny. Well, I'm Shayna Smilovitz. Hi. I usually go by just Shayna Smilovitz because, like, legally, my last name is Shimon in Israel, but I still, like, professionally, I go by Smilovitz, so I'll just keep it at that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be professional. So this is Shayna.
My full name is, in Hebrew, it's really funny. It's even funnier in Hebrew. It's Shayna Smilovitz Shimon. It's a lot of, I have three shins.
Triple shins.
Yeah. Triple threat.
I love that. Shane, can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you come from? Where did you go, Cotton Eye?
Sure, yeah. You mean like Jewish-wise or in general?
Anything, where you grew up.
Sure, yeah. So first of all, thank you guys for having me. This is really exciting. Like, I listen to you guys, so it's kind of fun, you know, to be on.
Yeah, this is going to be your next step to fame.
Exactly. Yes, she's already famous.
So, okay, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. So Jordan obviously knows all this, but Yosef, you probably don't. So I made Aliyah 6 years ago from the Bay Area, which is in California, Northern California. I got married 2 years ago to an Israeli guy named Ori, who is awesome.
It's true. That is a true fact.
He is awesome. We live in Ramat.
He's awesome and Israeli.
He's what?
That he's awesome,
both awesome and Israeli. Both at the same
two
time.
Two are not mutually exclusive. and yeah, I am a content strategist. It's kind of like a writer at a tech company.
Yeah, where?
Can we say which tech company it is?
So I work for Facebook Tel Aviv. Yeah, I've been there for 6 months.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Play geography after.
Perhaps you've heard of it.
Yeah, we should play Jewish geography at Facebook.
I know some of your colleagues.
Okay, we should talk. Yeah, I'm pretty new.
But none of you work in an office anymore, so.
Yeah, from day three, like I went into the office for 3 days and it was like a glorious 3 days because their office is like amazing. But then ever since then we've been working from home. So yeah.
So we'll get to that in a second. Sorry, we were in your past.
Yeah. So my past is, yeah, I mean, Jewishly, because I think this is like kind of related to the podcast. Like I grew up conservative, like pretty, I would say regular, like conservative American Jewish. Like my identity was very Jewish. There weren't a lot of Jews like in my area. Like in the Bay Area, like in certain pockets of the Bay Area, there are a lot of Jews, like in San Francisco, in Palo Alto, San Jose, but like where I live, where I'm from, Redwood City, there's not a lot of Jews. So it was a pretty tight-knit community. And like so my identity was always pretty Jewish. And then things got really shaken up when I came to Israel for the first time and I learned that I wasn't halachically Jewish. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Like, because I had never met.
That's crazy. The first time you ever heard that was when you came here
You know what?
before you made Aliyah.
It might have even been later on because I dated someone who was Israeli and he was like becoming religious. He was like going through a tshuva process. Because I think even on Taglit was the first time that I came to Israel. And I don't even think I learned it then. I was like 25. And because
Taglit is birthright. It's what we call birthright in Israel.
yes, when I went
It's interesting because if you say to an Israeli that you're on birthright, they don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And then if you say to an American you're going on Taglit, they might not know what you're talking about. So it's actually funny that they have not really integrated those two
I
names
think
very
the technical
well.
term might be Taglit birthright or birthright something like
Yes, that is the technical term. Very good, Shay.
Thank you, brownie points. So what I was saying, yeah, so it might have not even been until I was like 26 years old that this guy that I was dating was like, well, your mom like didn't basically, okay, I'll go back. So again, like because it kind of explains this. So again, I was like raised what I thought was like pretty typical Jewish American, but again, I had never met, like my whole community was either Reform or conservative. Like I don't think I had ever met one Orthodox person in my life until I was.
There was no Chabad running around asking you to put
No,
on tefillin and light
there was
candles.
no Chabad. Chabad started in Redwood City, I think like probably 8 or 9 years ago. They're great. Now they're like a little fixture in Redwood City. They were, I'm sure they were at Stanford campus. They were in Palo
Oh, yeah.
Alto, but they weren't in what we call the peninsula, which is like where at like Redwood City, San Mateo, kind of like this little pocket where we live, I lived. So yeah, I'd never met, like my community was like very different than like how you guys grew up because like I grew up in a conservative synagogue where everyone's sitting together. The idea that like women and men sit separately was like shocking to me, you know?
Yeah.
And like I had a bat mitzvah and I read from the Torah and I thought that was totally normal. So
I mean, I think it is normal, if we're going by, like the amount of people who do, what we do versus what you do. I think more people do what you did as an American Jew. But for us, yeah, it was totally foreign.
yeah.
Yosef read from the Torah, however.
I
What's
did,
that?
but the truth is, my father became religious when he was a teenager. So his whole family, like we always went to their smachot in like the middle of New Jersey, and we'd hear our cousins read from the Torah and everything. So
Oh,
yeah, it
wow.
wasn't. Yeah. It's not so foreign.
Totally foreign to me. Totally foreign. When I see like pictures of girls in tallis, standing, reading a big book, I'm always like, wow, that looks wild, especially like when a girl wears a kippah, it's so foreign to me. Like I've seen it a million times at this point, but it's just always very jarring to me. Do you wear a kippah when you
I
read from the
wore a
Torah?
kippah and a tallit when now I don't because I mean I have a dip, yeah, we can get to that later, but I have like a different like religious flavor
Perspective.
than how I grew up. So yeah, so that's how I grew up, you know, very Jewish, but my mom was raised Catholic, and she met my dad, they got married, decided to raise their kids Jewish, and then when I was 12 years old, like before my bat mitzvah, before my sister's bat mitzvah, actually, my parents,
Go
something.
ahead.
my sister's bat mitzvah, my parents wanted us to be like officially Jewish because they knew that like time, and so they wanted us to do a conversion. So we did a conservative conversion when we were like around 12, like 11, 12. And it was a pretty easy conversion because we were already like, our rabbis determined that like, since we were already in the community, we were already being raised Jewish, that we didn't really need to do much because we were being prepared for like our bat mitzvah. So yeah, it was a very pretty easy process because we were already in the community. So at age 12, I was like officially Jewish by conservative standards in the US. And then my mom did a conversion with the conservative movement as well when she was like 55.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she did, but it took her years.
I thought she did it when you were like a baby. Oh, so she did like a reform one when you were a baby.
She did.
Or before you were born.
She did no conversion until, yeah, she didn't do. She just was like part of the community. Like people thought she was Jewish. Like people were, when she started telling people that she wanted, that she was going to do the conversion, people were like shocked. They're like, what? You're not like, I mean, obviously in the synagogue knew, but like people who weren't that close to us were shocked because she was so like a part of the community.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah. So that was when I was younger. And then when I was, yeah, again, when I was 26 and I was being exposed to Orthodox Judaism, I learned that I wasn't like considered halachically Jewish, like in general, but also in Israel. And that really tripped me out because I was very connected to Israel at the time. Like I had gone on Taglit, I had done Masa, and I was considering even making Aliyah. And so I was like, what? Like I can make Aliyah, but I can't, but I'm not considered Jewish. I couldn't get married in Israel or anything. So that was like shocking to me. And it was just like,
yeah.
So Shane,
I just want to give a little bit of background that Israel has what's called the law of return for Jews. And that means that they, it's the same standards that Hitler used, which is 1 in 4 grandparents need to be Jewish. So Israel has a lot of people actually moving now who have one Jewish grandparent, specifically from Russia and the Ukraine. And
a lot of Americans.
And a lot of Americans who have, yeah. Well, Americans generally who have one Jewish parent, generally not one Jewish grandparent, but sometimes, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So once you move to Israel, you have all the rights and benefits of an ole or an ola, but for a lot of different life cycle events, you're not considered halachically Jewish. And so that makes it more difficult for you to kind of navigate different events in Israel as a citizen, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how did you decide to make Aliyah?
Yeah, so that was a crazy process because not a lot of people, like in my community, like in the conservative community in California, like were doing that. I mean, I just went on Taglit when I was 25. I had just like broken up with a boyfriend. And I was like, okay, I'm free. Like, I'm going to do whatever I want. Free trip kind of thing. And I was like at the age limit. So I went on Taglit, birthright. And I just completely fell in love. And it was just this crazy like thing that, I mean, I had always felt Jewish and I did have, you know, I felt also Jewish spiritually, religiously, identity wise. So it did make sense. But in a way, it was a little crazy because I was just like, like living my life and then I went and it just was like, things just clicked. Like I just fell in love with more of the culture and mm-hmm. Israelis and like Israeli culture and just how Israelis were. And just like, I remember being on my Taglit trip and I just was like bonding so much with the Israelis more than the Americans. Yeah. And I just really loved just the way they are, the way they're direct, the way they're honest, the way they talk about things. Like obviously, you know, now being here for 6 years, like my feelings have somewhat changed. Like it's not like all love not all love all the time with Israeli. Right. Love hate. But right. Like
right.
I mean, I'm married to an Israeli. I love his family. Like I love Israeli. So I think it was a very strong connection to the culture. And like and just being like, oh my God, everyone around me is Jewish. Like normally I was the only Jew in like a vicinity of like a few miles, you know? So yeah. That was just amazing for me, is like looking around and everyone's Jewish and they're just so diverse. And I just was in awe and I just was like, I feel like I belong here.
So Shayna,
wow.
I have a question. You mentioned that you came to Israel and you found out that you weren't halachically Jewish, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what was
Yosef's very, very sensitive.
What was your reaction? So never... I can imagine. I really just imagine because I have no idea what it would feel like, but I imagine that it could be very. You could have like a very, very different types of reactions. Like you could be very upset, take it very personally,
angry
at religious.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I think it wasn't until after I came back. I think it was when I started dating that guy who was, again, he was becoming more religious. He was Israeli and he was going through his like tshuva process. And he was just like, I think he told me and I was like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, yeah, you know, I mean, like, yeah, your mom converted like conservative, but she didn't convert Orthodox. So it wouldn't count, you know, and you converted conservative. It wouldn't count in Israel. And I was just like, the first reaction was confusion and shock. Because again, like my name is Shayna Smilovitz. It's such a Jewish name. Yeah, and it was always like my family.
And Shayna, you were like everyone's Jewish friend.
Exactly.
It's like I'm having my Jewish friend Shayna.
I was like the token Jew in like every group. And like I was the one that like kids told Holocaust jokes to in middle school. I was the one that like told, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, like seriously. And like I was one that people came to and asked questions about Judaism. I was like the representative in my like non-Jewish circles. Which was most of my circles. So yeah, so I was just like, wait, but I am Jewish, but they don't count me as Jewish. Like it was shock, and then it was anger, and it was just like, how can that be? Like my family we practice Judaism. Maybe it's a different flavor than the Rabbanut or than sorry, you know, Orthodox people in Israel. But yeah, it was first shock and kind of dismay, and then it was anger. It was anger. And then it was also like looking at my parents, like questioning myself, like, did they do something wrong by marrying each other? Like, did they, you know what I mean? Like intermarriage, like it made me question at the time, like, is intermarriage a bad thing? Like, which I obviously now really think it's sad that I thought that, you know, mm-hmm. But yeah, that was my reaction.
Interesting. So you come to Israel, you make Aliyah, you meet the love of your life, which is me.
In 2014.
Wait, what did
you
say?
In 2014.
I remember 2014.
July 2014. Shane and I have the same.
Right, we have the same Aliyah anniversary, but we really did form a very. Also, not you were at August.
Aliyah anniversary, but. Close enough.
But similar. Also 2014. And Shane and I went to Olpan together and we really did bond. You know, we were both not children like everybody else in Olpan, let's just say. And we were both American.
Yeah.
And we were thick as thieves. And then we both stayed in Jerusalem. And then what happened?
And then I moved to Tel Aviv and I just wanted a different environment. I actually became a little bit alienated with Jerusalem and the religious scene because at the time I did become more religious. It just was like felt very, very right for me at the time and it just made sense. But I also felt a little different because of my background and I wasn't halachically Jewish at the time. So I was like, religious, but at the same time I wasn't, again, counted, quote unquote. And when people found out, they it's not that people were like rude or anything, they were just like, oh, that's different. And that made me feel a little bit like, do I belong? It was a weird feeling of belonging, of like, do I belong here? So I kind of wanted something just different, a little bit maybe more liberal or mixed. So I moved to Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say to Shayna that, you know, she has the most Jewish spirit and the most Jewish, you know, neshama, but there's so much about, like, she's a very liberal gal. Shayna and I, like, our most famous picture, like, during the first election, but you know, I was very right wing.
Liberal for American politics. I definitely got way right. more center over the past. Right. For Israel, Israeli.
I think that happens. Way more I think that happens.
But
yeah,
I still,
exactly. So Shayna, right.
Yeah.
So when Shayna and I met, like, she came from, you know, like, you know, a liberal family in Northern California, which is like a liberal haven. And I came from a very conservative family in New York, and we just very much disagreed politically. And I just thought, like, you know, Orthodox Judaism really skews toward the right leaning way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And then you decided to convert Orthodox. So did you find that was the case?
In terms of the political, like, sway?
No, not politically, just in terms of, like, did you feel like conservative, that the Orthodox conversion was, like, in line with how you thought about things?
No, definitely not. I mean, a lot of things, yes, but other things, more, I guess, social issues, things like homosexual, like, gay rights, is one, like, one sticks out really strongly. I can't really pinpoint exactly, but, like, there were certain, like, both, I would say. It clicked. Yeah. Like, I was really, like, I was really into Judaism and religion at the time. I was fully, like, Shomer Shabbat and keeping, like, Kashrut and everything. So I loved the learning part of it. But there were aspects of it that I didn't enjoy. And I think a lot of it had to do with identity, because a lot of us in the class were similar to my background, like, were quote unquote half Jewish. And so our identities were already Jewish, but we were being told that we're converts. And even just the idea of being a convert again, like, for the second time in my life, was very strange. So I think the hardest part had to do more with identity, about other people telling you outside of yourself, like, what you should be doing, who you are, and what you need to do in order to become Jewish. And I'm like, I'm already Jewish. So it was a very, it was like what I always called, like, can I swear on here? Like, a mind fuck. It was like the biggest mind fuck of my life. It was just like, right. You're becoming Jewish. This is great, but I'm already Jewish. Like, it was just, yeah. So identity wise, very confusing.
That is very interesting. Wow. Can you tell anyone a little bit about the process? Because I think that it's a reality that someone might not realize, that if they want to make Aliyah and they have this kind of, let's say, colorful background, not like me and Yosef have this very black and white background, but like more, you know, colorful shades of gray background.
Yeah.
What's the process like?
Yeah. So the process is, I mean, at least in Tel Aviv, I did the conversion with the most amazing rabbi called Rabbi Ariel Constantine. He's the rabbi of the Tel Aviv International Synagogue.
He's
a very, like, speaking of colorful, it's very colorful shoulders. Israelis, there's French people, there's American. It's very, like, diverse, and I love it. And I, if it wasn't for Corona, I would still want to go, like, occasionally and just, you know, be there for Kabbalat Shabbat. But anyway, the process, basically, you just pretty much sign up. You have to be an Israeli citizen. And yeah, it took a year. It was an intensive program. It was two nights a week. It was Mondays and Wednesdays for like 3 hours. And then every Shabbat I was there. It was, you know, different people had varying levels of participation on Shabbat, but, like, I really participated as much as I could. It was a crazy time in my life. It was very intense, you know,
And then you have, like, a test at the end.
Yeah. You see the revenue, like, do you want me to explain what the revenue is, or do you want to?
Sure.
You probably can explain better because you're just like good with explaining these things, but like the revenue, as they call in English, is the rabbinate. And
Yes.
it's a body in Israel that controls certain religious aspects of even daily life. I mean, the main ones that they control, which you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jordana and Yosef, are marriage, burial, and
Yes.
I feel like there's a third one. I don't know. And
Divorce.
divorce. Okay, yeah.
Not kosher.
And then, and kashrut as well.
Kosher.
Exactly. They're involved with kashrut. They're actually a lot, which is like actually their biggest controversy is that they are an arm of the government.
Right.
So it's very much not like America where there's a
Separation.
separation of
Yeah.
church and state. It's quite the opposite. There is a very strong connection between church slash synagogue and state here in
Right,
Israel.
right. Yeah. So the revenue. So I had to meet with them, I think it was three times. So it's like we kind of were meeting with obviously our rabbis. We had two rabbis that were teaching us on a regular basis. And we when we knew we were going to the revenue for our like meeting that we had to like practice, we kind of had to like know what we might be asked and that kind of thing. And then at the end, there's a test. You go and you literally like get grilled on like how Jewish you are. And it was nerve-wracking for sure, but thank God I passed on the first time because some people don't. For
Yeah. Was
various
it
reasons.
pleasant? Like were the people who were testing you, are they nice about it? Are they
Yeah, they were
like
pretty
how Jewish are you?
they were pretty nice. They were like personally, they were nice. It was just the whole format and this whole situation was like was very surreal to me. Like going to this governmental body and these just like old men, like male rabbis. Nothing against male rabbis, but just the process was weird that they had so much power and so much power over our lives, you know, because.
Yeah.
Like for me personally, I did the conversion both for religious and for like practical reasons. I did
Yeah.
it so because I was religious at the time, I'm not so religious now. I have my own, like, I consider myself Masorti now, traditional. But so I was religious at the time, and so I wanted to kind of like become official. Like there was that part of me that was like, did believe in that, like, that I wanted to become official. Then another part of it was I want to be a full Israeli citizen. I want to be able to get married to who I want. You know, I want to be able for my kid, future kids to have
Yeah.
bar and bat mitzvahs. Well, mostly bar, I think, mitzvahs that are halachically sound. You know, and I want my
Yeah.
future kids to have issues with marriage and with being like counted as Jewish or not. So it was kind of like.
It's such an interesting perspective because I think that that's a very guiding factor for a lot of people who come to Israel. I think that, you know, on the one hand, they really want to do it with a full heart, and they don't want to do it just because they're told to. So I think that it's kind of a beautiful thing that you had, you know, the practicality in mind, but
Yeah.
also, you know, the desire
Yeah, and a lot of
to have
people,
other people.
and I realized like in my conversion, I know a lot of people who did conversions and everyone did it for different reasons. And I never judged them because it was to be put in that situation is kind of hard. Like in general, and so it's like some people did it strictly for bureaucratic reasons, and I'm like, cool, you do you, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
you kind of, in a lot of people, it's like in Israel, I hate to say, you kind of have to play the game, and it's sad. In my view,
Yeah.
it's really sad that a lot of converts in Israel have to quote unquote play the game and not be truthful about their religiosity. It's not fair. It's not
Yeah.
fair. Like you could.
Right. I mean,
On
you could see
them
it both
and say,
from
like,
you could yeah.
you're lying, that's not okay. But to be put in that type of scenario is, in my eyes, not okay. There should be like another path to,
Have you heard of Tzohar?
yeah. The conversion actually technically, I think, was through Zohar, I think.
Do they? I don't even know how they work. Do they have anything to do with the conversion process? Do they have an alternative?
Well, okay, so Zohar, from what I know, they were technically, like, our rabbi was working for Zohar, and then Zohar, like, kind of went up to the rabbinate, but that's what I know. I know our rabbi was kind of approved by the rabbinate, but I think Zohar might have been involved as well. The alternative conversions that exist in Israel, well, one of them I did look into, which was with a rabbi in Efrat. And I went to go meet him. He was amazing. I'm blanking on his name right now. And basically, he explained to me that if I did a conversion through him, which would have been a little easier, like it would have been not as intense, probably, it wouldn't have been counted in Israel proper. It wouldn't be counted by the revenue. So for me, it was like, yeah. What was the point?
Right.
And to make matters worse, the revenue knew that he was doing alternative conversions and they targeted him and like shut, I can't remember exactly what happened, but on his 70th birthday, because you guys probably, there's something about when you're a rabbi, when you turn 70, something happens, like you lose something. Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, 70 is the age of wisdom, but I don't know anything specific that happens to a rabbi.
There was something bureaucratic and they targeted him and it was not pretty. And so I was like,
I feel like I know who it is, but I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, no, it's okay. When I met him, I was just like, I felt so like, anyway, he's a big like rabbi. Like he's
Rabbi big, Riskin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Just
put it out there.
Rabbi Riskin both married my parents and Rayla's parents, my wife's parents.
Oh wow. He was amazing when I met him. I was like,
half of those couples made it.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
So anyways, after that happened, when the revenue, again, like maybe you can fact check me, but this is what I remember happened, that the revenue, they don't like when other people take on
100%. That it's an interesting thing, because we were talking about Zohar, and Zohar is like kind of this alternative to the revenue, mm-hmm. that is also Orthodox, but they kind of operate outside the revenue.
Yeah,
and there are definitely, yes. Well, and they also give out to Kashrut, because people don't like, you know, what the revenue does in terms of giving out, you know, kosher certification. So that's just another layer of the very exciting world of politics and bureaucracy.
Yeah, it was strange to be a part of like the political situation. I don't know. Anyway, so the conversion was
successful,
and I passed, and I'm happy. But it was very, very hard identity wise, and very pretty strict. I mean, it was pretty strict, even though our rabbis, again, were like modern Orthodox. They were great. So I started it actually in Jerusalem. Still there, and it was different. I would say, and I have a very good friend who did in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. It took her way longer and it was way more strict. So in a sense, because I did it with a certain rabbi and I don't know how I got lucky, it wasn't as painful as it could have been.
That is beautiful, Sheena.
Thanks.
But my favorite story, Sheena mentioned that she has a husband who is Ori, who is fantastic. But I think like most stories are fine. You know, like I'm definitely not a romantic in any capacity. But I think that the story of you and Ori is very, very cool.
I think you're a closeted.
It's definitely deep down in the closet with like the summer clothes. You know what I mean? Like, it's hiding.
Sorry, go on.
No, so I want to know how you met Ori.
So we met on Secret Tel Aviv, which is a Facebook group. And yeah, we met kind of in a funny way. We met when I was moving and I was looking for an apartment. And I just posted because I felt that my kind of, I was a little different than the average. I was keeping Shabbat and Kashrut, so I needed a roommate who was either doing that or open. So I posted and I was just like, what the hell? And then my friend commented on the post and she said, as a joke, she was like, she's single gentleman, like who wants to date her kind of thing. Just joke.
Please tell everybody how many people are in secret Tel Aviv.
Oh, what is it, like 10,000? I don't know.
No, I think it's like 50 or 100,000, something insane. Yeah, it's something insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So your friend
told my friend that many world people. That I was single and ready to mingle. And I was just like, ha ha, like LOL, whatever. Just, you know, Ashley being Ashley. And then like Ori's cousin saw the post. He saw her comment and he was just like, well, if you're serious, I mean, I could like hook you up with someone. And he messaged Ori and he was like, hey, I might have someone for you. And then he like exchanged. And then I talked to his cousin and he was like, what's your type? Da, da, da. And then he showed me Ori's profile. And I was like, he's cute. I like that he likes Latin music. I do too. I was like, okay, that's good enough for me. And then
right. He's cute and he likes Latin music. I'm telling you, that is like more than I could ever ask for in a spouse.
But he was very like, but I was very open at the time. Like, I feel like that's how it is in Israel. Like, people are just more like Zolim. Like, they're more open. And like, I feel like stories like this happen a lot in Israel because people are open. So.
Yeah, by the way, Secret Tel Aviv has drumroll.
Yeah,
no drumroll. Over 300,000 members.
What? 300?
So let's put a little perspective on that, Shayna.
300,600.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. So it was meant to be. I really believe that. And so yeah, so we just like he. Called me, we talked on the phone, and then we met up in Tel Aviv, and it was just like a really good first date. I remember that. So, yeah.
So cute.
Years ago in October.
That was 5 years ago?
Yeah.
That is so insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that was like a year after you moved here.
Yeah, a year and some change. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so it was funny because like right before our wedding, like the creator, the Johnny or whoever on Secret Tel Aviv, like put us in his newsletter. He was like, congrats to Ori and Shayna who met on Secret Tel Aviv and are getting married in a few days. So that was fun to be featured in the newsletter.
Yeah. Awesome. It's 100% true. Famous fame. You know what I mean? Now you're on a podcast with literally dozens of listeners.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Hundreds. But before we wrap up, like in a little bit, I want to shift the attention to your career. Can you tell us a little about what you do for Facebook?
I can't talk much about it. I think you have to go through some training. I don't know. I can tell you a little bit.
They won't find out.
What?
They won't find out. Don't worry.
I'll tell you more.
They're listening to us right now. What do you mean?
I'll tell you a little bit about. Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about just my career and maybe in Israel, like the.
Tell us how you
your
got
trajectory.
There.
So, sure. So I was a social worker in the U.S. I was a clinical social worker, and now I'm working in tech. So it's like I find that a lot of times. When you make Aliyah, a lot of people just have to reinvent themselves career-wise. Like Jordana knows that, obviously. Like
you're do. Same here.
Yeah.
Yosef, we were all in the helping professions and now none of us helps
we're
anyone.
All in the content. Now we're all in content.
What were you, Yosef?
I'm a physical therapist.
Oh, are you still
the therapist? I moved here and now I am a content team leader at
Oh, cool. Okay. I've Okay, we can play Jeffries now. I'm just realizing I know who we both
Now I
know.
know.
That's funny. A lot of people from Natural Intelligence at Facebook. So anyway, I got here and I was just like, I don't know what to do. I first got into like nonprofit because I was like, that seems like an easy transition. But then just you make nothing, really nothing. And then eventually I got into like high tech and got my first job in high tech and then transitioned eventually into writing because it was a skill that I had that I liked. And I was like, okay, maybe I can like do something out of this. And then over time, just got experience and got lucky to get like a really good job now. And like, I really like it so far. And basically what I'm doing is as a content strategist is working with like designers and engineers and product managers to like work on like products. And I'm responsible for the words that go into those experiences. Just as designers are responsible for the visuals, like we work together as a team to make it like a good experience for the user. And I think the reason why I like it so much is because I'm still like a social worker at heart, and I still like think about people and who's on the other side and what they're going through and like emotionally and stuff. And so I think that's why I really it's very stimulating and it's very fun to like think about users in a sense of almost like they're clients in a way.
I mean, they are essentially.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's why it like fits my personality because I think I am a helper at heart and I want to do good for people. And so that's what I think connects the dots in a way. So.
I wanted to know, is there anything about making Aliyah or Aliyah that really surprised you or shocked you or like threw you for a loop?
It's a good question. Surprised me.
In a good or a bad way.
Yeah, I mean, I already knew. Actually, okay, well, probably what's been the most challenging is the language for me. Which like it's not that my Hebrew is like zero. Like I have a pretty good Hebrew in general, but like it's still a challenge in my life. And it's been 6 years since I made Aliyah. And it's still a challenge. And I thought when I made Aliyah, like, okay, 6 months, I'll do Ulpan, I'll be like totally fluent. Oh my God, how I was wrong. And it's something that like when you're part of an Israeli family, like and you have to speak Hebrew, it's awesome, but it's also like sometimes I'm just like I can't express myself and who I am fully, and that's really frustrating. So I think that surprised me that it's still an ongoing like challenge for me.
Struggle,
But
yeah.
like everyone's different. I think especially for Anglos, it's really hard because everyone wants to talk to us in English and everyone knows English. But it's different for everyone. If you are like stubborn as hell and you don't let anyone talk to you in English, then like you can learn so fast.
For sure. I mean, or if you, I mean, you live in Ramat Gan, I live in Tel Aviv, and Yosef lives in Kibbutz Shmuel. So there's just like so much English floating around that we could literally go without speaking Hebrew in an entire day if we don't pick up the phone. But if we move to, a moshav outside of Be'er Sheva,
Yeah.
we could probably learn pretty quick.
Yeah, if you're immersed. Yeah, for sure. So I think that's been the most not surprising, but well, kind of. Like I never pictured myself like being 6 years in and still having that like issue with the language, but it's just a journey, you know? Like it goes up and down. My husband gives me crap all the time. He wants me to like learn Hebrew more and speak Hebrew more.
He is a perfect English to be, like to be candid.
He does, but I mostly get my practice with his family. Like every Shabbat, because his family members, some of them don't speak English, some of them do. So depending on who I'm with, I'm either speaking Hebrew or English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is it at work? Do you speak only English at work?
I'm so spoiled. I mean, yeah, for the past ever since I've been in tech, I'm spoiled because everyone speaks English, but it depends on the culture. Like I worked at a company, it was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and of course everyone spoke English because it's tech, but the culture was in Hebrew. So like at lunch, everyone's speaking in Hebrew and
happy hours,
events and things like that. So if you want to be part of the culture, the company culture, then it's in Hebrew. So you have to either participate or understand at least. So that was challenging, but I did get to a point where I could understand things going on around me like pretty well. But if I want to speak English, I can, which is nice. So like right now, my team mostly speaks English because they want to accommodate me. But like if they happen to speak Hebrew, it's not that big of a deal because I mostly know what's happening. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yos, do you want to ask her our usual question?
The elevator pitch?
Yeah.
What's that?
Jordana, you can ask it.
So what we usually ask is advice that you would give to someone making Aliyah.
Good.
And what's like, you know, I want to make Aliyah, reel me in.
Cool. That's a great, like to convince someone or to give them advice?
Or no, not really to give it. Yeah, it could be to give them advice or just to give them like encouragement.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would say that it is a process that it doesn't, even after 6 months, a year, you can expect for it to be hard at times. And like, it takes a while. It takes a while to feel really, I don't want to say Israeli, but just to feel at home here. You know, when we don't have our families here, it's really hard to feel at home. So it takes a while. And there's ups and downs. I know that's like so like cliche, but it's so true. I think some people expect, like I kind of expected that just to come and everything's like within 6 months or a year, everything's going to be set. Like you're just going to find the best job. You're going to find your partner right away. You're going to learn the language right away. But things take time and some things take longer than others. So just patience and just, I guess, learning how to adapt to the Israeli culture, just being like aggressive and direct at times and open, because I found that in Israel, I remember calling it the Israeli mirror. Like whatever you project, Israelis will put that back on.
Send back to you.
Because people are more open with their emotions here. So it's like, if you project anger, they're going to get angry at you. If you project kindness and openness, then they're gonna bring it back to you. I really believe that. I mean, in general, that's what I believe, but you feel it and see it more in Israel because people are more open with their emotions rather than in the US, people are a little bit more closed. So you don't feel right. That same like direct feedback right away. So right. If that makes any sense.
That's good.
Yeah.
Shane, that's good. I like that a lot. I think that it was very real, you know? It's not all roses,
no.
And you have to give it time. I think like with anything, you know, you can give it an analogy, you know, you can have the best ingredients in the entire world and put it in the oven. If you put it in for 5 minutes, it's going to be disgusting. You have to wait until, you know, until it cooks.
Cookie dough is pretty tasty.
Yeah, cookie dough is really good. Okay. But pretend... like you know that I only make, you know, Duncan Hines mixes, and it's rude that you're pretending that I
that you know how to bake. I don't know how to bake. It's okay. So yeah, give it time and like just it's such a journey. It's like the best thing I've ever done. It's challenged me so I know I would not have grown as a person in the same ways that I did, you know, if I were still in the US. Like it's just stretched me so much and it's growing pains, but you grow as a person. You really do.
Yeah.
So 100%.
You agree, Yos?
Totally. Totally. You also sometimes grow your, I don't know, grow your waist size as well.
Oh yeah. I've been growing a lot in quarantine.
Well, this is all corona related.
As a person. Physically, as a person, to a larger person.
This is true.
Well, Shana, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. This is really, really fun.
I know. You were so real. And so, I mean, you are so real. So that wasn't, it wasn't like a surprise. It was a surprise to Yosef. He said, is she going to be real? I said, I don't know. I think so.
Okay.
He didn't. He knew.
Well, thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure. And I'm going to keep listening. And it's really, I think what you guys are doing is great. I think giving people who are considering Aliyah, like, you know, what it's really like and encouragement. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so, so much.
Yeah.
Well, all right. This was a pleasure and an honor. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you everyone so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We definitely enjoyed recording it. If you enjoyed this episode or any of our other episodes, please consider subscribing, hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts, and give us a 5-star review. And check us out on Facebook at Y'all Aliyah Podcast. And you can also find us on the web at www.thealiyahplanner.com. See you soon.